This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Detroit and Ann Arbor are dotted with buildings from one of the region's celebrated architects. As a matter of fact, that shortchanges the architect because his buildings can be found in places all over the world, and he's not just celebrated in Michigan, but worldwide. We're talking about Albert Kahn. He was a German immigrant in the late 19th century and landing in Detroit at the age of 11.
Kahn was born in a town in southwest Germany called Raunen.
Claire Zimmerman is an associate professor of architecture and history of art at the University of Michigan. She's participating in a two-month-long project at Lawrence Tech University to highlight the work and legacy of Albert Kahn.
He emigrated with his family. His father is referred to as an itinerant rabbi who made his living by traveling to perform the services of a rabbi as needed. They were part of the wave of German immigrants in the second half of the 19th century who came to America for opportunities and to find jobs. His father first came to Baltimore, I believe, and then moved out to Detroit for job opportunities. Kahn was 11 when they came over in 1880. Moritz Kahn, his third brother, was an infant. He was actually born as the family was underway to come to the United States. Kahn was the eldest. He never went back to school. He became instead the patron and supporter of the brothers, many of whom went to the University of Michigan.
So how did he become an architect?
Kahn was good at a couple of things. He was a very good pianist, and he was a very good draftsman. His mother apparently noticed his skill in drawing and apprenticed him with a sculptor named Julius Melchors. Kahn apprenticed with this friend of the family, the sculptor, and from there he began to apprentice for architects' offices. He got fired from one because he was also moonlighting in a stable and apparently would come in direct from the stable and was not welcome in the offices.
Odoriferous, maybe.
And then he began to work for George Mason, who was a well-respected local architect who built actually some houses here in Ann Arbor. And he rose up through George Mason's firm to become, for a while anyway, a quasi-partner with George Mason.
Before going off and establishing Albert Kahn and Associates.
Before establishing himself on his own, right.
And as a matter of fact, the centennial of a number of his landmark works is coming up. For those of us who might not be familiar with Albert Kahn's work, name a few buildings we might recognize.
Hill Auditorium, Fisher Building in Detroit, the Cadillac Place Building, formerly called the Durant Building or the GM Building, Hatcher Library, Angel Hall, Burton Tower, Clements Library.
Yeah, so we kind of get the idea. These are
Highland
these are
Park.
Prominent buildings. For those downtown Detroit buildings, let's just stick there. What percentage were designed by Kahn or his firm? What do you have a number? Do you have a percentage? Just a ballpark.
Yeah, I don't have a percentage. The information about Kahn's Detroit projects is wide-ranging. I would say we don't actually know. A couple of local historians have produced a count of 400 buildings in Detroit by Kahn. The firm has records for about 900 projects in Detroit. Those could be minor projects. So we're somewhere in between 400 and 900 buildings in Detroit alone.
And some of these massive buildings like you're talking about, like Fisher, but there's also National Theater, which, you know, is abandoned and at risk of being demolished or just not being renovated and deteriorate. So there are little jewels besides these great big mammoth projects he did as well. I understand there are a fair number at the University of Michigan as well that were designed by Albert Kahn. You mentioned a couple of them, but a good deal of campus is dotted with Albert Kahn buildings.
A huge number of buildings on Michigan's campus. Before Kahn's death in 1942, the count that I have is 19 buildings on Central Campus, and the firm went on building at Michigan long after Kahn died.
Wow. So what makes Kahn's designs or his methods different from his contemporaries?
Lots of things. Incredible efficiency in the office, in the organization of the office. Extreme responsiveness to client demands. That's quite unusual for named architects, in case you don't know that. The client is often to be resisted as much as worked with. But Kahn was—
I've heard that about people like, you know, Wright and others.
Yes. But, yeah. But Kahn worked really well with clients, and as a result, they came back and they hired him again and again and again. His firm structure was designed for efficiency. Some people talk about the Kahn office as itself being like a kind of factory organization. Those would be the main things. I would just note
his building materials were different too, right?
He pioneered the use of reinforced concrete together with his brother Julius Kahn. And really, Julius gets the credit for inventing a proprietary system of reinforced concrete that was called Truss-Kahn, or the Kahn system, that became a global, literally a global enterprise. It was co-owned by Julius and Albert together. I don't think we quite know yet the extent of the networks of Truss-Kahn, but I can tell you they went all the way across the globe, up and down, east and west, north and south, everywhere.
We talked about some of these stately buildings, but Kahn also designed plants for Henry Ford, a part of the massive abandoned Packard plant in Detroit. But it was Kahn's Highland Park Ford plant, which really was a game changer for a lot of people. How important was that building at the time and why?
Well, Highland Park is often and not quite accurately credited as the site of the moving assembly line in automotive manufacture. It was tremendously important, as I would call it, a laboratory for assembly line manufacture or for mass production of automobiles and machines. And I say that because when they first designed it, they had a certain understanding of what was needed. But over time, the factory, almost immediately, in fact, the factory became obsolete in terms of the demand that was placed on Ford Motor Company. And so they were constantly tinkering with the building, adding to it, expanding, trying to figure out ways to keep up with the accelerating demand for automobiles. And really, Highland Park is, I think, most important as a kind of laboratory that then resulted in the River Rouge plant.
Kahn's firm grew quickly and not only designed auto plants in Detroit, but when World War II broke out, he was instrumental in designing these huge manufacturing plants for the war effort. Tell me a little bit about that.
That's a remarkable story in the Kahn story history. He had already pioneered incredibly efficient, low-cost, high-quality factory buildings up to the late 30s. But by the time you get into the kind of ambit of World War II, he's forced to reinvent himself yet again. And that begins with very rapid manufacture in steel frame building for war production. But after we joined the war, i.e. from the end of 1941, material shortages made Kahn redesign the systems that he had in place already for at least two changed conditions. One was the need to have artificially lit factories, two or blackout factories, and two was the constraints on materials like steel, so that he had to go back to concrete, finding ways to reduce the amount of metal that he used to reinforce it so that he could build the factories equally quickly but with a very different palette of materials from those that he had used in the late 30s.
And some of these were huge. The Willow Run bomber plant in Ypsilanti was one of the biggest buildings around at the time. How large was it?
I think it was about 82 acres under one roof, if I'm not mistaken. Kahn refers in a speech to it being 90 acres under one roof. But I've read the statistic 82 as well. It's an agricultural scale. It's not a building scale.
Right.
You have to think about it in terms of farmland. That's how much land was under that one L-shaped roof in Ypsilanti.
Yeah, forget square footage. Starting in 1929, Albert Kahn developed a business relationship with the Soviet Union. He helped industrialize a country that was kind of lagging behind the rest of the developed world. How important was Kahn's work to the rise of Russia and the Soviet Union as a world power?
I'm not an expert on this, but I think it was immense. They designed and set in place the building of 523 factories through the Moscow office of Albert Kahn Associates. But the reason that the Soviets didn't renew the contract in 1932 was I think, because they no longer needed Kahn. They had all his drawings, and they had a group of trained technicians, technicians trained by the Kahn outfit. They simply didn't need him anymore. When they negotiated the contract renewal, they offered to pay him in rubles instead of dollars. And to Kahn, rubles were useless. He knew it was a ruse to cancel the contract, and he accepted it philosophically. What went on after, what happened after those 523 factories were built, my supposition is that there was a kind of ripple effect, and the techniques, the technology that they had brought to the Soviet Union was the main element in industrializing the entire country. I think it was immense.
As we mentioned, this is the centennial of some of his works. What's being done to recognize Albert Kahn as these buildings are noted?
LTU has been quite wonderful recently. They themselves have the Kahn office library moved lock, stock, and barrel from the Albert Kahn building to the LTU library in the mid-1970s. Recently, they've cataloged the collection. They've come to understand that it's a fascinating time capsule of Kahn's work. And as a result of wanting to celebrate this holding, they've sponsored a couple of exhibitions on Kahn's work. One is an exhibition called Albert Kahn Under Construction, which features the incredible archive of unpublished construction photographs of buildings built all over the world by Kahn. They are also exhibiting these lost drawings of Belle Isle Aquarium. And this is the Belle Isle Aquarium find is thanks to the hard work of Chris Meister, who's a local historian who's done some of the most groundbreaking and interesting work on Albert Kahn and has been instrumental to the restoration and the reopening of the Belle Isle Aquarium. That is an amazing building. It's a beautiful, beautiful jewel of a building connected to the greenhouse, the conservatory next door. It's one of the earliest aquaria in the United States, and until its closure in 2005, it was the longest continuously operating aquarium in the U.S. I don't care about that so much. It is a beautiful building that summons up the experience of being underwater. I can't describe it any other way. It's tiled in green glass tiles. It's just a wonderful, wonderful place. And Chris Meister has done an incredible job of promoting it and taking care of it and assembling others or working with others to take care of that building. And in general, I'd say that the new recognition of Kahn is not so much a function of any particular date, but a growing understanding of the importance of industrialization to the American economy, to the built environment, to the Midwest as we find it today, with this immense amount of infrastructure that's basically falling apart or being demolished. There's somehow a new understanding that this period of American history has been not quite adequately analyzed by those who study the built environment, and that we're still living with its effects, either because the buildings are still here or precisely because they aren't. So the landscape of Detroit would be the best example of that, filled with empty pockets left by the immense building campuses that Kahn designed for Dodge, for Chrysler, for Ford.
For Packard. On our website, we will list some of the events that are going on. If you'd like to visit Lawrence Tech and see some of these exhibits, we'll let you know what's going on there. Our guest, Claire Zimmerman, is an associate professor of architecture and history of art at the University of Michigan and with the College of Architecture and Design and Exhibitions and Lectures Committee at Lawrence Tech. She's currently writing a book about Albert Kahn. So thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you.